Hi, it's Tony Bruschi. When you're not enjoying our haunting episodes of The Grave Talks, I invite you to check out our true crime and disaster podcast, Dark Side of Wikipedia, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday. Just search Dark Side of Wikipedia wherever you download podcasts. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of a recent episode of Dark Side of Wikipedia. Like so many cult leaders, he slowly treaded down the path of having disturbing attractions to young girls. Eventually, his dark ways would catch up with him and land him in prison. But aside from all the fraud, illegal activity, in the name of God, and jail time, his religion would live on. Apparently, some just can't ever let go of the dream or the nightmare. Today, Tony Alamo on the Dark Side.
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is the Dark Side of Wikipedia.
Tony Alamo, the founder of the Alamo Christian Foundation, is an American cult leader. It was a cult that was founded in 1969 by Christian evangelist Tony Alamo and one of his wives, Susan Alamo. Susan Alamo died in April of 1982 after years of legal troubles during which he was accused of engaging in abusive behavior against his followers. Alamo was convicted of 10 child rape offenses in 2009. He remained in prison until his death in May of 2017. Tony Alamo was born Bernie Lazar Hoffman to a Jewish family. He worked in Hollywood as a pop singer under the names Mark Hoffman and Marcus Abad. Susan Alamo was born Edith Opal Horn in Alma, Arkansas. Twice married and with a daughter, she came to Hollywood and attempted to become an actress. Converting from Judaism to Christianity, she became an internet evangelist before meeting Hoffman. After divorcing their respective spouses, Horn and Hoffman married in a 1966 Las Vegas ceremony, legally changing their names to Tony Alamo and Susan Alamo. In the early years, Tony and Susan founded the Alamo Christian Foundation in 1969 in Hollywood, California. The church became the subject of controversy, and as a result, it was frequently criticized for its manner of preaching, which often involved young members of the congregation working on the streets of Hollywood, inviting people to convert to Christianity and taking them to the church for evening services in Ogadulce, roughly an hour away, for a meeting and a meal. Many of these individuals chose to stay in order to become Bible students and lay ministries. In 1979, the church relocated to Dyer, Arkansas, where Susan had grown up. There, the church grew to several hundred members and established printing facilities, a school, and a tabernacle. It also operated a drug rehabilitation facility, and those who were involved in the church developed several businesses in the Alma area. As the church expanded, it established churches in Nashville, Chicago, Brooklyn, and Miami Beach. Among the businesses Alamo started was decorating denim jackets and airbrushing them with bright, colorful designs. Many Hollywood celebrities were seen wearing them, including Michael Jackson, who wore a modified leather Alamo jacket on the cover of his album Bad. The church's project included Nashville's largest country and western clothing store. The church published religious tracts and distributed tapes of sermons by the Alamos. With the assistance of some church members, the Alamos produced records and tapes. They began a national television ministry in the 1970s. Susan Alamo died of breast cancer in April of 1982 in Tulsa, Oklahoma, at the City of Faith Hospital. In the reported belief that she would rise from the dead, her embalmed body was kept on display for 6 months before it was entombed in a heart-shaped marble mausoleum on church property. In 1991, the federal government confiscated the property, finding when its agents arrived that Susan's body had been removed. Her estranged daughter, Christianian Coey, brought a suit against Tony for stealing the body and her stepfather obtained a court order requiring the body to be returned. In 1982, the same year that Susan Alamo died, the foundation was discontinued and replaced by the newly incorporated Music Square Church. MSC was granted a 501c tax-exempt status in 1981, but this was retroactively revoked by the IRS on April 5, 1996. The IRS commissioner found that MSC was so closely operated and controlled by and for the benefit of Tony Alamo that it enjoyed no substantive independent existence, that MSC was formed and operated by Tony Alamo for the principal purpose of willfully attempting to defeat or evade federal income tax, and that MSC was inseparable from Tony Alamo and failed to operate for exclusively charitable purposes. MSC sued and lost in the United States Court of Federal Claims. It lost an appeal to the United States Court of Appeals in 1999. Tony Alamo was arrested numerous times, beginning with a weapons charge in 1966, for which he served time before marrying Edith Opal Horn, and culminating in his 2009 conviction on 10 counts of transporting minors across state lines for sex. In June 2013, the federal government filed forfeiture and collection actions in federal court on 27 properties owned by members of Tony Alamo Christian Ministries in an attempt to pay $2.5 million in restitution that Alamo was ordered to pay his victims. The U.S. Attorney's Office argued the properties remained under Alamo's control and the owners were owners in name only. Alamo died on May 2nd, 2017, while he was in custody at the Federal Medical Center, Butner, in Butner, North Carolina. He was 82 years old. The Alamo Ministries posted a notice of his death on its website's homepage, but it's not posted a notice of succession or stated its future plans. The church was Protestant and Pentecostal in nature, and it was often referred to as being part of the Jesus movement. It was an extremely anti-Catholic, only accepted the King James Version of the Bible, and its members adhered to a moral code which condemned and forbade the use of drugs, homosexuality, adultery, birth control, and abortion. Individuals who sought to join the church and become involved in its rehabilitation program took a vow of poverty and agreed to turn all of their money and property over to the church. In return, their own needs would be met and their children would receive basic education through high school. Tony Alamo was a well-known evangelist who, after the radical conversion to Christianity, founded what's now called the Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, with his wife Susan, later establishing his headquarters in Dyer, in Arkansas. So, interesting story, and that's the first part. That's the Wikipedia entry of Tony Alamo. We're going to move into another article about his life, and then the reunion of many of folks that left. But the thing is, I think this thing's still around, and we'll talk about that too. It's the Dark Side of Wikipedia. Tony and Carol Hughes with you on today's episode. Thoughts on old Tony so far?
You know, it's funny because I recognize his name, but as you're telling the story, I'm like, I don't know, damn, think about this guy.
Yeah.
Like, I thought I did. You know, somewhere in my brain, I'm sure I remember this story. But, like, the whole jackets thing, I don't remember any of that. Like, Michael Jackson wearing his jacket.
If you look up his jackets, you'll see me like, oh, I remember seeing those on people. But I hadn't, I mean, it's such a weird thing to, you know, for like a cult leader type guy to have designer jackets that are, you know... I don't know. Did he like coin the idea of doing bright spray colors on the back of jean jackets? Or I guess why is this all like looked at as, oh, it's him, you know, on that?
Well, he probably did it in a certain way. Maybe he was one of the first people to do it.
Yeah.
And made some money. You know, in a lot of churches, and I'm using air quotes, have kind of those side businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And they make money off that. Now, any church, using air quotes once again, that asks you to give them all of your possessions and property,
mm-hmm.
and they will take care of you and educate your children, like, just run away. I believe, you know, tied to your church, that's great. You know, you should be giving money to your church.
Mm-hmm.
But that whole idea of giving them everything.
Give them your children. Yeah. I mean, no, it's insane.
Like, you can get your child educated through public school system.
Anytime.
And, yeah. You know, you don't have to give the public school system all of your property.
No. When you have these things and you look at, especially the folks, what I'm most troubled by is some of these, you'll see the documentaries now of, you know, so-and-so left X cult or X religion. And they, a lot of them just seem really like normal people. Like, how did you, and not dumb either in many cases. They're not like, oh, they said it was going to happen. It'll happen. And I went for it. They're not like that. They're like, I really did my research on it, and I studied, and you know, but they have a lot of times a religious aspect, like that. I prayed about it, and I just felt like this was probably the right thing, and
you know,
and it's like,
oh, I'm sorry,
and it's just it's amazing to me how these they come across as just very like normal people, but conned in such an extreme way.
I liken it to being in an abusive relationship.
Yeah.
It starts out great and you're madly in love and you do super fun things. And then slowly he starts taking control.
Yeah.
Or she. It can go both ways.
Sure.
And they start taking control. And then all of the money goes through them and you don't get any money. And then slowly you don't seem to have any friends and you can't really go to your family's house anymore. And one by one, all that, you know, all those things are taken from you. And at the same time, you're convinced he loves you.
Yeah.
And you love him, and he's wonderful. And it's kind of like that same thing. You know, I think that, especially with religion, you know, people are looking for something to believe in.
Sure.
And if they think they found that person in that faith, especially, you know, a charismatic leader,
yeah,
you can dive into that. And then it's like that abusive relationship. It's really hard to see it. You know, like your family can tell you all day long, like, look what he's doing to you. Mm-hmm. And you're like, no, he's not. I love him. He's great to me.
Yeah.
So we only fight once in a while and you defend it. And so that's kind of that same sort of relationship.
You're right. It is. And then you look at a lot of these at the very beginnings of, you know, when people get signed up, if you will, there is a lot of real kind of amazing things that they'll offer you. And they're very hands on. They're not like you go to like a, and I'm not
the courtship phase.
It is. And the thing is, a lot of most churches, your average church does not do that. Either it's too big to do it or it's just not how they do it. Like I'm not bashing any religion here, but I mean, I grew up Lutheran. You were a new member at a Lutheran church or something. They said hi to you. Okay. We'd like you to come to classes every now and then. I know it's kind of a pain in the ass, but we just want to, you know, make you assimilate to or understand what we're doing. And that's about it. These ones that are like so charismatic, it's like, look, we're going to work with your mental health. Put your hands on these bars and the e-meter will tell us all these things. And we're going to help you work through those problems.
Yeah, I don't get Scientology at all.
But that's how it starts. It doesn't even start as we're Scientology. You see those people's booths. It doesn't say Scientology. Mm-hmm. It says like free stress test or something. And they start out as being helpful, self-help. You know, in some cases like this, these guys were trying to attract people who were, you know, they had nothing else. But hey, you're poor, you're living, you know, in a horrible place, it's dangerous, you need clothing, you need your kids to have education, you need food. We're gonna, yeah, give us all you got. And it may be, you know, $50, if that. And then suddenly all your needs are taken care of. And by the way, we're going to start fucking your kids in a couple months. That's where it tends to go. You know, it's.
I wasn't ready for it to go there quite yet.
Well, that is where the story goes.
I think, yeah, and not all of them go there.
No,
you know, I think that it kind of, you know, for every person who gave them everything and only had $50, there's five people who had a home, who had $10,000 in the bank or more, and now how do you get out?
Yeah.
You got nothing.
And you're trapped. They got everything
and
for you.
And defeated.
Yeah.
And just like in a bad relationship, you have no self-esteem. You don't see how you get anywhere. How do you do it?
It is very much the same sort of parallel. You know who would be great at starting cults? Really successful timeshare salespeople. You know,
oh, yeah.
It's like if you're able to pull that one off, because it's like you're suddenly asking people who quite oftentimes are not in the greatest of financial situations to go and suddenly drop, you know, 30, 40 grand on a timeshare.
For 1 week a year.
But we're going to make it worth your while, because every time you're going to get a free six-pack of Nathan's hot dogs, it's going to be in the fridge for you. Buns are a little bit extra. That's an extra 1,000, you know, but think of it. Think of all the buns you're going to buy over your life. This 1,000.
Yeah, it's, but you know, it's unlimited buns.
It is unlimited. All the buns you can eat, but you do have to tell us how many you want.
Up to 2 dozen.
Yeah, up to 2 dozen. And you have to let us know exactly how many you need the third Sunday in April, 2 years before your day that you're booked.
And if it's any later than that, sorry.
And it's from 2:30 to 2:45 on that Sunday. That's your time window. We hope you can make it. And that is in Hawaiian time, by the way.
And all of that is just written down.
Exactly. It's a few other things, a little more detailed than that, but it's in the contract. Sign here. This is going to be the best things you've ever done. If you can do that successfully, I think you could start a cult in no time. Quite honestly, I just gave some sick person a great idea. It's like, it'll be a future Dark Side. He was listening to a podcast and someone suggested he started a cult. This voice through his phone said, start a cult, you timeshare seller, you.
That's a great idea. And I'm going to paint jackets.
And he did it. All right, let's continue on with the Tony Alamo story. Much of the information on Alamo's early pre-conversion life is superfluous at best on account of Alamo's constant exaggerations of his importance and or sinfulness. He was born Bernie Lazar Hoffman on September 20th, 1934 in Joplin, Missouri. His father was a Jewish immigrant from Romania who Alamo claims had been a dance instructor for Rudolph Valentino when he was a teenager. Alamo left Joplin for the West Coast. He apparently adopted the name Marcus Abad for some time and achieved some modicum of success as a big band crooner in Los Angeles, California. Alamo went on to own a health club and work in the music industry. He claimed that he recorded a hit record single in the early 1960s, Little Yankee Girl, and that he was asked to manage musical acts including the Beatles, the Doors, and the Rolling Stones. In 1966, after serving jail time for a weapons charge, Alamo married Edith Opal Horn from Alma in Crawford County, also of Jewish descent. 9 years his senior, Edith Horn, a two-time divorcee who already had a daughter, had moved to Hollywood to become an actress, but ended up supporting herself partly by scamming churches into believing her to be a missionary in need of money. Some sources say that they changed their names to Tony and Susan Alamo after their marriage, though Tony Alamo has claimed that he changed his own name earlier to mimic the Italian-American singers who were popular at the time. According to Alamo, while he was in a meeting at a Beverly Hills investment firm, Jesus came to him and told him to preach the second coming of Christ. After both he and Susan converted to Christianity, they established the Music Square Church and began a Hollywood street ministry, passing out religious tracts and preaching especially to drug addicts, alcoholics, and prostitutes. Their ministry was part of the Jesus People movement, in which many of those involved in the counterculture of the 1960s began proclaiming a spiritual transformation and an allegiance to Jesus. Alamo's Pentecostal theology, included a virulent paranoia and extreme anti-Catholicism that placed the Vatican as the real power broker behind the White House, the United Nations, and the media. The various publications his ministry offered, such as the Vatican-Moscow-Washington Alliance, detailed his conspiracy theories. Alamo also claimed that UFOs are divine messengers from heaven and signs of the end times. Communal living was a staple of the Music Square Church. The church quickly expanded its holdings, buying several businesses and establishing a compound in nearby Sayagas. Members usually lived in a commune and worked at an Alamo-owned business, turning over much of their salaries to the church. That's the preview. If you want to hear the full episode, be sure to subscribe to Dark Side of Wikipedia wherever you download podcasts and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday. That's Dark Side of Wikipedia.